Let's start with the lineage of Al-Shafi'i. Okay, go ahead, تفضل. Muhammad ibn Idris, ibn al-Abbas, ibn Uthman, ibn al-Shafi'i, ibn al-Sa'ib, ibn Ghalib, ibn. It meets with the lineage of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. So it's, mashallah, it's very beneficial to review. So try to do that. Allah yubarik bikum. It is very beneficial. Come on, let us continue. الحمد لله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. May Allah grant us the sincere intentions. The author said, no one can evade sinning except with Allah's protection, and no one has the ability to obey except by Allah's help. In more than one hadith, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام urged to say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. It means, as we mentioned, without Allah's protection, no one can evade sinning. And without the help of Allah, no one has the strength to obey Him. The Prophet himself explained this statement as such, to mean this meaning, to mean that. This is narrated by Al-Bazzar from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with a sahih chain of narrators. The meaning of this statement is in compliance or goes back to what we mentioned previously, that everything occurs with the will of Allah, and Allah is the one who creates it. The author said, Allah is attributed with all proper perfection and is clear of all imperfection. There is absolutely nothing like Him, and He is attributed with hearing and sight. The explanation, Allah is attributed with perfection that befits Him. We said that befits Him because there are types of perfection that befit the creatures and do not befit the Creator. An example of that is to have a strong mind and a nice voice. Those are attributes of perfection in the creatures. It does not befit Allah to attribute Him with mind or with voice. This is why the author said that befits Him, or the proper perfection. Likewise, Allah is clear of all imperfection. Everything, everyone among the attributes of the creation does not befit Allah. It is improper to attribute Allah with that attribute. Because each and every attribute among the attributes of the creation entails that the one attributed with it is in need, and God is clear of being in need to anyone or anything. From this, it is clearly understood that Allah is clear of being in a place, is clear of being affected by time, and Allah is clear from being in a direction. The one that exists in a place, either it would be equal to that place, bigger or smaller. And in those three cases, this entails that this is a body, what is in a place. And Allah Ta'ala is clear of being a body. what exists in a direction, it has a distance between it and other matters, other things. This entails that this thing would be a body, because distance exists between a body and another body. And of course, Allah is not a body. Allah is not a palpable body, nor a body which is not palpable. Palpable things are like the human beings, wood, stones, etc. Things that are not palpable are like the air, the light, the jinn. Those two types are created by Allah. Thus, Allah does not resemble the first type, and Allah does not resemble the second type. This is why Al-Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, in his famous book about the creed, said, Allah is not in any of the six directions like other creatures, other creations. Because anything that exists in a direction of you, whether above you or underneath you, to the front or to the back, to your right or to your left, then it has a distance between it and yourself. Thus, it would be a body. Al-Tahawi, when he said that, was not saying his own opinion, just his own opinion. Rather, he was copying what all the Muslim scholars said about this issue. He mentioned at the beginning of his creed that what he is saying in this booklet is the creed of all of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He mentioned explicitly Al-Imam Abu Hanifa and his two companions, Abu Yusuf and Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, not because what he mentions is their creed only. They did not have a creed different than the creed of the Muslims. He said that, I will mention the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah using the statements of those three Imams, Abu Hanifa, Abu Yusuf, and Muhammad ibn al-Hasan. That's why he mentioned those three. The Wahhabis, they do not like such a statement. Some Wahhabis, one of the Wahhabis, he tried to pervert the meanings of this creed, because it's a famous creed. So what he did, he authored what he called an explanation of it, in which he tried to pervert the meanings of this aqidah. When he got to this statement, when he reached this statement, he couldn't infer a perverted meaning to it. So he said, I disagree with the author on this point, because it is very explicit. We do not disagree with what Ahlul Sunnah said. Subhanallah. Al-Albani. From this it is known that Allah is clear of being attributed with sitting, because the one who is sitting has to have limits. And everything that has limits is in need for someone who specified it with those limits. Sitting does not occur except from something that has an upper part, a lower part. an upper part, a lower part with which it gets in touch, in contact with what he sits on. This is sitting. And this is the attribute of the human being, not the attribute of Allah Ta'ala. The human being sits, the jinn sits, the cow, the ape sits. It does not befit Allah to attribute him with the attributes of the human being, jinn, or animals. Among the ill creeds of the Wahhabis that they believe that Allah sits on Al-Arsh. And this is blasphemy. Some of them, they say Allah is as big as Al-Arsh. Some they say he is a little bit smaller. Wal-iyazu billah. And some they said Allah is suspended above Al-Arsh. There is a distance between Al-Arsh and Allah. Just like the star is above us, or the moon is above us, or the sun is above us. Wal-iyazu billah. In any case, this entails attributing bodily attributes and the attributes of the creation to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is belying the saying of Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Imam Abu Hanifa, he refuted those people. Abu Hanifa said, we tell them, had Allah being in need to sit or to be established on something, then before creating Al-Arsh, where was Allah? He meant by that Allah existed without a place. Because Allah does not change. We tell such people, Al-Arsh, isn't it created by Allah? They have to say, yes. We tell them, if you consider being above Al-Arsh an attribute of perfection, then before creating Al-Arsh, you are claiming, you are saying that Allah was not attributed with that attribute of perfection. So you are attributing imperfection to Allah. And if you say it is not an attribute of perfection, then you are claiming that Allah is attributed with an attribute which is not an attribute of perfection. And in both cases, this is blasphemy. You cannot escape that. Ibn Taymiyyah, to escape from this, from what Abu Hanifa and other imams said, he committed another blasphemy. So he said, this arsh is created, but before it there was another arsh, and before it there was another arsh, and so on without a beginning. So his statement, he said just what the atheists say, that this universe does not have a beginning. Explicitly he said it in other books. In more than 8 of his books, he explicitly mentioned this blasphemy. Why? To support his other blasphemous statement. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He has a book that he called The Explanation of Hadith, Imran ibn al-Husayn. Another book that he called The Explanation of Hadith and Nuzul. A third one that he called Muwafaqat Sarih al-Ma'qul li Sahih al-Manqul. In those 3 books and other books, he explicitly mentioned that the universe does not have a beginning. All of that to support that claim. So you can see how those people who liken Allah to the creation, their creed goes in compliance with what the atheists believe. It does. On top of that, what is our proof about the existence of Allah? Isn't it, aren't they the attributes of this universe? If they say that Allah is attributed with those attributes, with similar attributes, then as if they are saying there is no proof for the existence of Allah. Both of the creeds, those who liken Allah to the creation and Al-Mu'tazila, those 2 creeds, they are in coherence with the creed of the atheists. Wal-iyazu billah. The author continued to emphasize that Allah does not resemble the creation by saying Allah does not resemble the creation by any mean. This is taken from the saying of Allah in Surah Ash-Shura, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. The first part of this verse gives the meaning that Allah does not resemble the creation by any mean. This is the most explicit verse in Al-Quran that puts it very clear that Allah does not resemble anything else by any mean. In this verse, in Arabic, you know there is the term ka, laysa kamithlihi shay. If it is not mentioned, still it gives the meaning. But this kaf, it benefits, it gives an extra meaning that it emphasizes the non-resemblance of Allah to the creation. By this letter kaf, as if you are saying by any mean. So the verse would mean Allah does not resemble the creation by any mean. After this part is mentioned in the verse, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, then the other part, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, is mentioned. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ means that Allah is attributed with hearing and sight. So it would be clear and understood that Allah's hearing is not like the hearing of others, and Allah's sight is not like the sight of others. Allah hears all the hearable things without an ear, without the need of vibration. We only hear what is close to us. Allah hears every hearable thing. We hear through an ear. Allah hears without an ear and without any other organ or instrument, with His eternal and everlasting hearing, which does not resemble ours. And without this bringing any change to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Likewise, Allah sees all the seeable matters, everything. Allah sees Himself, His attributes, and the creations with His eternal and everlasting sight, without the need of pupil, light, or the like. We do not see what's behind the wall. Allah sees everything without this bringing any change to Allah Ta'ala. Subhanah. The author said, Allah exists without a beginning, and everything else exists with a beginning. He is the creator, and everything else is a creation. The explanation, all the universe existed after non-existing. The kind of the universe is created, and every element of it is created also. The philosophers, most of them, did not agree with that. They said the universe exists without a beginning. Some of them, they said the kind of the universe exists without a beginning. And the element also. Some, they said some of the elements, part of the elements, exist without a beginning. And some said the kind of the universe is eternal, but all the elements have a beginning. Both types of those philosophers are blasphemers. The Muslims unanimously agreed that they are blasphemers, because they claimed that there is something other than Allah that does not have a beginning. So they claimed that Allah has a partner in the attribute of eternity, existing without a beginning. Allah praised Himself in Al-Quran by saying, هُوَ الْأَوَّلِ, which means He is only the one without a beginning, which means there is nothing other than Allah without a beginning. The philosophers belied this verse, and they belied the verse, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. And they belied the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ غَيْرُهُ, which means Allah existed eternally and nothing other than Allah existed eternally. This hadith is narrated by Al-Bukhari and others. Also, they went against the sound judgment of the mind. This is why the scholars said that this is one among three statements of the philosophers that one has to declare them blasphemers for each one of them. Many among the Muslim scholars explicitly mentioned that the one who says that the universe does not have a beginning is a blasphemer. Qadi Iyad mentioned this issue, Al-Mutawalli mentioned this issue, Al-Nawawi mentioned it, Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid mentioned it, Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar mentioned it, Al-Zarkashi mentioned it. Al-Zarkashi mentioned the two types of philosophers, and he said those two types are judged as blasphemers by consensus of the Muslims. He mentioned that in his book, Tashnif al-Masami'. Ibn Taymiyyah said what the philosophers said about this issue. He is judged just as they are. In this verse, huwa al-awwal, those who know a little bit about the Arabic grammar will understand. The others, they need to seek help to understand. In this verse, huwa al-awwal, the first term huwa is mubtada, and it is ma'rifah. The other term is khabar, and it is ma'rifah. Thus, the Arab linguist said, when the mubtada is ma'rifah and al-khabar is ma'rifah, that implies exclusivity. That's why we said huwa al-awwal means that no one other than him is attributed with that attribute, existing without a beginning. Let us stop here. If anyone has a question, please go ahead. Elias. Elements and kind? No, this is a little bit complicated. The philosophers, they talk about something that they imaginated, and they called it the kind of the universe. They called it Hayula. So for them, this is eternal with Allah, and then it transforms, it materializes by the elements of the universe. That's what they say. Anyway, it's blasphemy. Hey Ali.
Sheikh Samir.
Blasphemy without a proof.
Among these people, in a lot of books, they refer to like Ibn Sina,
Al-Farabi.
They call them Islamic philosophers. And I just wanted to ask...
What they mean by that they claim to be Muslim.
Uh-huh.
They don't mean by that when they say Islamic philosophers, they do not mean by that they were Muslims.
Uh-huh.
Rather, they claim to be Muslims because the philosophers are of two types. Some, they did not claim to be Muslims.
Uh-huh.
And others, they claim to be Muslims. They say about Al-Farabi and Ibn Sina, Islamic philosophers, they mean by that they claim to be Muslims.
What about this man named Ar-Razi? Not Fakhruddin Ar-Razi, but there was
another. There are many people called up. Many
was one of them
called Ar-Razi.
Was one of them a philosopher considered among these philosophers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Naam, sister, go ahead.
And also, did you speak about a book called At-Tasnif?
About?
A book called At-Tasnif.
Tashnif al-Masami'. This is an yes. It's called Tashnif al-Masami'. Authored by Az-Zarkashi. وفيك اتفضل دكتور. The saying of Abu Hanifa in his book Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar.
If it's lower than Mashhur, how do the scholars from the Maturidiya background in particular address this issue of Allah Majub ila Makan from the hadith of the Prophet?
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The meaning is in compliance with other hadith. So it's not one hadith that gives that meaning.
Sheikh Samir, you did ask the question, but I need to ask you again concerning, did you mention Allah sees himself?
Yes, of course.
MashaAllah.
Of course. Everything that exists is seeable. The believers, don't they see Allah when they are in paradise? Yes, they see Allah without a distance, without being in a direction, without Allah being in a place, but they see Allah. And Allah sees himself. Everything that exists is seeable.
My other question, concerning the statement of the blasphemers, philosophers, the kind of the universe is eternal.
This is what they say.
So don't look into that. Like, I'm just wondering, what did they mean by the kind of the universe is eternal, even though it's blasphemous?
They mean something which is not something that they imagine. They imagine that there is something called, I don't know in English how they express it. In their language, they called it Hayula of the universe. And then they say that this thing materialized with the elements of the universe. That's what they say, without any proof. Something that they imagine. And they claim that this Hayula is eternal. This is what they say. Yeah, this is what they say. Naam, Abdurrahim. Which one?
The one regarding had it been the case that Allah was in need of a place to exist?
As far as I remember in Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar, maybe it is also in Al-Wasiyya, in both. Okay. Oh, I can recheck it. It's not a, or you recheck it and tell me. As far as I remember, it's in Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar. Yeah. طيب بارك الله فيكم